Welcome to Cliff's Wujo. A dojo is a place in which the martial arts are practiced. A wujo is a place in which the wu-wu arts are practiced. The wu-wu arts are all things officially denied and everything unknown. Today is April 8th. It's 10:18 a.m. This is the second talk I'm giving today. Just because of the circumstances and the progression of the negative news coming out of Europe. And it occurred to me a lot of individuals may have relatives, as I do, that are young and stupid, don't know how to really examine themselves and place themselves in a context in the developing world that we all face. So if for a moment we were to say that we face the chaos of a disintegrating dollar over the next few years, the rise of alternative currencies, the breakdown of the just-in-time delivery system, the rebuilding of new infrastructure in the United States, the rebuilding of our manufacturing base, the reacquisition of our government from the fucktards and the minions and the powers that be, then in that chaos, how does one make their way, especially since the corporate world is dying and we won't have a situation of the corporations providing jobs? So therefore, you have to look to find work, which is a different deal entirely. And there's a difference between a job and a work, because in a work, you own it, and a job, someone else owns you. In the work, you can decide to do it or not as you choose, or do it well or not as you choose. And you'll get rewarded by universe based on whether or not you show up and whether or not you get it done and how well you do it. Basically, of course, as we all know, most of the success in life is merely showing up. So to get it started here, let me give you a quick bit of personal history. Washington State is one of 16 repository states that has a subset of the Library of Congress stashed away in its local state library. State libraries are part of a system throughout the United States. And we have, I think, probably about an eighth copy of the Library of Congress, some portion of it anyway, federal registers and all of that kind of stuff here. In 1982 and 1983, I was in the beginning of my personal education phase when I realized that I had been schooled all my life and that education was left up to me. I decided I would go back to kindergarten. I located the state library. I got myself instantiated in there in terms of knowing how to use it as a system. Started checking out books. And so for 2 years running, I took out more books as a single individual, not state government employee, which is what it's really set up to serve, is the state government and its need for information. But as a single individual, I took out more books than anybody else and read them all for 2 years running. And in that process, ran across a particular section of the federal registers catalog that includes all these books on what we might think of in a general sense as how-to these days or self-help. And a lot of them were about the basically personal skill sets, how do you figure out what you're gifted at, how to basically find your life's work and get settled into it. Now we know that that's a little bit misleading, because there is not such a thing as a life's work relative to a job or a category anymore, as conditions are changing so rapidly around us. And in order to thrive, grow and mature as humans, in this upcoming age, we need to be adaptable and adaptive and flexible, and we need to be very flexible in our thinking. One of the ways in which we can be flexible in our thinking is to be able to apply certain skills to examine ourselves relative to the context in which we find ourselves. So for all of you that, like myself, have dumbass relatives that don't know how to do it, here's a quick rundown on how to locate work as opposed to how to find a job. And they're entirely different skill sets. The skill set that you would use to find a job, there's many, many, many books about that. How to get interviewed, what to say in interviews, what to wear, and all of that kind of stuff. Finding work is entirely different. It takes a different mindset. You don't want to do most of the things that you would do in interviews. The things you do want to do, though, is to maintain a set of personal disciplines. That is the sense that you get up, you take care of your body in terms of, you know, washing it, giving it food, and giving it exercise so it's fit to do what you need to have it done. And then you maintain regular hours so that you're productive relative to a client base that you can build up. It's easy to, once you get into the groove of finding the work, to find too much work. So bear that in mind. You need to regulate yourself as you go along to what you're able to deliver such that you maintain a quality level and people will always come back and ask you to come and do more work for them. Okay, so now in interviewing, for a job, you're looking for the first job that's offered to you, basically, is how it normally works. And you're looking for a universe, and you're trying to narrow it down to the first job that's going to be suitable for you. And so it's a reductionist viewpoint of a database, the database of the entire universe of all the jobs in your local area or the wider part of the world that you're willing to work in, and those that might fit you. And you keep you send out 100 resumes in order to get the 2 interviews that lead to 1 job offer, which you accept immediately because the economy's shit and you're no dummy. So here's how it works for getting work. It's the opposite of that. You don't want to reduce. You want to expand. And in fact, it's set theory. It's not reductionist database analysis. What we want to do is we want to basically, if you've got the room, get a whiteboard or a chalkboard or something or a big sheet of paper, and you're going to want to start drawing some circles. And in these circles, you're going to want to put a bunch of words. And you're just going to do this as a brainstorming session. You're not going to do it with editorial mind. So the minute your mind starts analyzing, the minute your mind does anything other than stay in free flow mode and just throw things out, then you're in analytical mode, and that's part 2, and you want to stop and go back to your free flow mode. Because what you want to do is you want to set up a place where you can have 6 circles that can represent your local context. And in the middle of those 6 circles, put 3 on one side and 3 on the other, or 3 on the top and 3 on the bottom, it doesn't matter. And in the middle of these is a little circle that is you. And you can draw lines from the you to each of these circles. And in 3 of those, all on the same side, either top or one of the sides, it doesn't matter, you can label these circles as skills. And another circle is labeled as interests or hobbies. And a third is labeled as resources. And then on the other 3 circles, on the other side, top, bottom, whatever, right, left, you'll put needs, activities, and wastes. Now, these, by the way, you could put local needs or local activities or local wastes. And these circles represent the sets that we're going to be thinking about at the moment. And then there's 2 other areas that you need to do. You need to slice off another area, get another sheet of paper, and label 1 as obstacles, and another is resources. You can do this all on a virtual sheet of paper, on a pad, or whatever. Just so that you can help organize. Now, in our first 3 circles, obviously these apply to you as a person. And what you're going to want to do is to get into free-flow thinking mode and say to yourself, what are my skills? You know, what do I actually know how to do? And you may be very limited. All I know how to do is to turn on a microwave. Okay, well, you know, I really know how to run that microwave. So you put it down there. I'm very excellent at microwaves. You don't want to be aggrandizing about your skill set. You want to be brutally honest about what you actually know how to do, because we're going to improve your skill set as we go along. And so it's not an obstacle. It's not really a limitation at this point. Although you may want to put it down and under your obstacles. As you run across obstacles in this process, that's what this other sheet is for. You just go over there and you note them, and then you can get them out of your mind. So the first thing you're doing is you're filling up your very first circle of skills, what I know how to do. And you find out you don't know how to do anything other than run a microwave. And so you put down under the skills, I know how to really, 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 really know how to run this microwave. And then you go over to the obstacles side and you say, damn, all I know how to do is run a microwave. And then you forget about it. And then you go back up to interests and hobbies. And then you start listing all of your interests and hobbies. And be as expansive as possible. This is not a reductionist viewpoint here. We don't want to weed out something that some corporate guy might take a offense to. You want to throw in there every possible thing that is an interest to you and a hobby. And this whole process here might take you a number of hours, should take you a number of hours if you do it correctly. Just on the personal assay part, figuring out who you are. The older you are, there's the more skill set, the more you theoretically know yourself, perhaps you'll be able to put it down fairly concisely. And you get into your interests and your hobbies. Be, as I say, as expansive as possible, and don't just list them casually. So if you're a model railroad person, put down there that you're a model railroad person. But if you're a model railroad person that, you know, casts his own wheels, put down there that you cast your own wheels. So that you have this very extensive list. You want to make it as expansive as possible on your interests and hobbies. And then you want to have another one here. The last circle is your personal resources. What do you have at hand at this moment that you can put to use? And this could be, this doesn't have to be super expansive in terms of a list. You don't have to inventory everything you own at the moment or could lay your hands on, but you need to know in general those kinds of things that you do have available, and you want to train your mind to do some thinking in terms of resources. So, you know, you might have a very extensive collection of used plastic sacks. Okay, well, you put that down. Or I've got a bunch of old cider bottles, and you put that down. Okay. Or, you know, you don't have much at all, but boy, you've got a yard full of really nice rocks. You've got a lot of rocks. Can't grow anything, but boy, you've got rocks there. And so you put all these things down in your resource area. And you spend the time to build up these circles, and keep this as a more or less permanent list, because you're going to work it over the next few weeks as you get into this process. You may want to morph each one of these circles into little journals or little books that you can keep track of the various items as you go along, because bear in mind the looking for work, the doing of the work, and the getting, adding value to the universe and then getting paid for adding value to the universe is an ongoing process. So unlike a job where you just go get the job and they pay you after that, once you learn the skill sets, the minimal skill set they want you to demonstrate, this is going and finding work is an entirely different way of life, because you're going to have to continue educating yourself for the rest of your life. You're going to have to continue changing your education, changing your interests, and changing your resources in order to match them up with what is needed in the environment around you. And that's where we're at now. Let's get to the other side of this. That's the other three circles in our major little area that are connected to the little circle that is you in the middle. These other three circles are the local needs, local activities, and local wastes. They're reasonably self-explanatory. The idea is that you, if you can identify any local need, put it down. You know, maybe you've got a local need that no one's repairing the roads, or maybe you've got a local need that no one's picking up the frog waste. I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, put down any local need you can identify. Again, be as expansive as possible. And even if it's really screwy, this is not the time to be an editorial mind. You don't want to be restrictive here. You want to be as wildly imaginative as possible in filling out all of these circles, with the exception that you want to be realistic. You don't want to say that a local need is to harvest, you know, moon rocks, because there's no way that some burg in Arizona is going to get together the money to send you to the moon to harvest moon rocks for them. So you need to be a little bit more focused in terms of what is actually specifically available. And we say local because you need to start looking for work locally in order to build up and become, potentially expand outside of the local range. Then also look at local activities. What do people do in your area? The more you can analyze in a general sense, the larger demographics around you. When you look at what people do, don't just put down there, oh, they dance. Look at who goes to the dances and who doesn't, and both of which are meaningful. And you can put down there, you know, no grandmas go to dances and no grandpas go to dances, or maybe grandpas do go to dances. I don't know. Anyway, you put all this stuff down. Again, you want to be as expansive as possible, because we're creating sets that we're going to be working on later. But we want to have something in there to work with. And then the last one is local waste. What do you see lying around you that is wasted? What do you see being thrown away? What do you see that should be thrown away that isn't, that's just lying around rotting? This is actually a very fruitful area to get into, because frequently people will pay to have waste effectively and appropriately dealt with. Thus, the whole move of the mafia into the waste management business. Once they tumbled to the fact of how much people would pay for waste management handling, they thought, boy, we'd better stay legitimate. This makes a lot of sense. So anyway, you've got your circles with you in the middle. And you make your circles as big as you possibly can, and you fill these circles up with words. Each word should be as connotatively concise as possible. If you can capture a whole context with a single word, do so, because these circles should be quite filled. Once they start becoming overfilled, you're going to have to maintain a separate list for them elsewhere. Sorry about that. One of the dogs needed to attack the door for a minute. Okay, so now we're dealing with set theory. And in set theory, you can go and look it up online and stuff. Basically, the idea that you want to deal with is the conjunction, the intersection of sets. And so here we have an intersection of all these six sets through you. We want to expand the idea and see where the conjunctions of the sets occur naturally. So if you can see words that are related in any of the three of your personal essay areas that are also replicated over in the local needs, activities, and wastes area, hey, you're on to something there, right? Say that you happen to be really good at radio-controlled airplanes, and you see that there is a vast quantity of swamp gas waste, and people are blown up with their balloons floating over the swamp. Well, okay. You could take your one way to find work in this instance might be to use your imagination then and find the conjunction of your flying radio controlled airplanes and these people dying in their balloon trips through the hazardous swamp with the explodo swamp gas. And so you could go to the balloon people and say, you pay me money, I'll fly my remote control planes through the swamp gas ahead of your balloons and let them get blown up, and thus your people are saved and your business is saved. And so you have found work. In fact, you've actually made work for yourself, because you've discovered a need, you've discovered a local waste, which is all this methane gas coming up out of the swamps, and a local need, which is for people not to be blown up, and then you also have discovered who's going to pay for it, which is the people that run the balloon operation who don't want their customers blown up by the explodo swamp gas, all of which makes perfect sense because you live in explodo swamp gas area. So, you see how the conjunctions work. Now, it won't be quite that simple. It won't be quite that easy. It's really a ton of work, but it can be extremely rewarding because it can put you on the path to individual sovereignty in terms of owning your own work. You own the production. You own the ideas. You own the outcome, which you sell to someone, and then they do with it as they need. Now, maybe that work is your labor. Maybe it is your inventiveness coming up with the airplanes trailing the phosphorus strings that set off the swamp gas, or something along these lines. You take your skill sets and you try and expand those skill sets as large as you can to fit in with the local needs, local activities, and the local waste areas. Now, if you have a limited skill set, then, hey, obviously, look to the other side. Look to the local needs and the local activities and the local waste, and you'll see that, oh, okay, the skills that are going to be needed to handle these local needs, to be able to service the local activities, or to be able to deal with the local waste are the following, and you can start listing these in yet another large circle. You could label this circle, Skills I Need to Learn. And then you could even, from that, you would have a subset of skills I need to learn in order to learn those skills. In other words, you know, I got to read better, or I need to get grammar that I don't stumble over, that kind of thing. So anyway, you see how it is. The idea is to be expansive in the direction of building up the various sets, and then notice where the sets naturally want to fall together. And this is a way of actually relating to the harmony that universe provides around you. It's a sort of a broad brush way of learning to listen to universe talk to you. If universe gives you a particular skill set you just can't get away from, like you're just the greatest onion cook ever, and then you discover that 25 miles down the road is the greatest onion producing area, or then maybe you need to move. You know, these kind of juxtapositions are not without meaning. So you can take meaning from the conjunction of these sets, apply it to your local area as an overlay, and then decide where your hobbies and interests, which should be your guiding principle here. Just because you have a skill unless you're absolutely desperate and you need to use it, you know, you're an auto mechanic, but you hate being an auto mechanic, well, be guided by your interests. Find something that you would prefer to do. Which brings us, in any way, put this overlay over the local area. You should be able to find conjunctions of sets that can be easily defined by these words and are reacting with each other through these various sets with you in the middle. And then you sort of take you out for a bit, get the conjunction sets, and then put you in the middle of the conjunction set and say, okay, these are the skills I need to have. These are the people that can afford to pay for it. These are the needs that need to be met. Here are the activities that are involved in those needs. Here are the wastes that are produced by them, and so on and so on. Here are the resources I have. And then also, by the way, here are the obstacles that stand in my way of getting there. Just because you've got them on your obstacles list doesn't mean that they're anything more than a known hurdle. And known hurdles are great because you can at least identify them, feel them, they're real, you can touch them, and you know exactly how much energy is required to overcome them, get around them, etc. Which brings us down to the resource list. Now, the final resource list are the tools that you're going to use to get you from the point you're at now and leverage you and put you in the middle of a conjunction set, and then from that point forward, put you into the actual work that people that you've already identified will pay you for doing. And the payment can be in anything, right? Don't be necessarily restrictive. I know individuals that started off working on boats that took old trashy boats and then fixed them up in their spare time and sold them. When one guy couldn't sell the boats, he cut the keels off of a bunch of these sailboats, put them on this property that he's got, and rents them out to ecotourists. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways to make money on various different resources you have, or to make a living. And there's a difference than in making money and making a living. We just need to alter our thinking a bit. One last item on that before we shut off here on part two today is that I think you will find that if you want to try this, it will work for you. And it's an experiment. You can discard it if you think I'm full of it. But try this in your search for work. Try to be cooperative rather than competitive. Just because you can identify, say that there's a lot of empty houses in your area and you know that the real estate people are still trying to sell them, and so they are hiring cleaning companies and stagers and so on. Well, there's bound to be people in that business already. What you're looking for in terms of finding work that you can do and so on are areas that have low barriers to entry, in which you're not going to instantly be in competition to a larger established base of people providing for those same levels of needs. You need to be a little bit more creative and see where the needs are not being met or being met poorly and move in that direction. And wherever you can, in my experience, be cooperative rather than competitive, universe will reward you a lot quicker. And you will have a lot less hassle. It'll be a lot more enjoyable. The whole thing will flow a lot smoother in its progression towards getting you towards your work that you really should be doing. Universe knows it, and I think we really know it, but we're frequently too stupid or bald or something, and we ignore it and decide we're going to go off and do this other damn thing anyway. So that's the idea. Is basically the conjunction of set theories in order to be expansive in our thinking in a non-editorial mindset such that we really examine the context in which we find ourselves in a new and different way of thinking such that new potentials and new opportunities may be revealed to us that would have otherwise been obscured by our habitual thought patterns. And that's really where we need to go, is we need to break those habitual thought patterns, stop looking for jobs, because frequently they're just, well, all over, they're just not available, and start looking for work and new ways of making that work happen. I sure hope this helps, guys. It's been a terrible, terrible morning talking to all these people in Europe who are just having a miserable evening and night there. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but I'm just, you get up and you have a reasonable sort of an expectation for the day, and you get a phone call from some fellow over there who's just suffering. You can't not talk to him, and it gets you thinking about all of this, and there you go. So, anyway, take care. Try this out. It really does work. It's a way of getting yourself integrated into your local environment and a new way of thinking. And it really can help the kids. If you can ever explain this to people that have never done a personal essay or never been through the process for themselves, it's entirely different than when you're doing it for a corporation that wants to do some MMPI and shovel you into a particular shape of a cube and wants you to be that shape. So here you want to find out what shape you really are and then go see if you can find a chunk of universe that fits that shape. Make sense?